Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and you are all producers of this show, so visit the new page on our website called You Produce. State a fact, pose a question, suggest a guest, a topic, or an entire series, or make a correction. We've already taken some topic ideas from You Produce. See You Produce at WNYC.org when you click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, we are so thrilled to have our next guests here. They are leaders of three very different organizations from three very different countries who have all come to New York as part of a 92nd Street Y program. They've been taking management classes at Columbia and meeting lots of different New Yorkers in different neighborhoods around the city, and we are thrilled to meet them and talk about the whole wide world. Officially, they are here for the Ford Motor Company International Fellowship of the 92nd Street Y, and they are Svetlana Yakimenko, a women's rights advocate and director of newly independent states at Project Kesher in the Russian Federation, Dr. Ahmed Fadil, an HIV-AIDS training officer with the United Nations mission in Sudan, and Roxana Avila Harper, artistic director of Teatro Abya Yala, an educational theater company in Costa Rica. She also teaches theater at the University of Costa Rica. Welcome to all of you to WNYC, and welcome to New York. Hello.
Thank you so much.
How long have you been in the city now?
About
more than 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And who's here for the first time?
I'm for the first time.
So what has been the most surprising thing about New York for you?
Well, coming from in my country, we are very slow. So like finding people moving very quickly in the streets, everything is like quick. So it's like it's really surprising to me.
Is Sudan your country, or that's just where you're stationed?
Yes, Sudan is my country.
Sudan is your country.
Not so different from Moscow. Moscow is also very much like New York. It's very fast moving, a lot of people, everybody is running anywhere. So it's fun to be here.
Avila, pretty different from Costa Rica. I've been there.
Yes, you have. Okay. Well, no, I actually had a master's degree at Carnegie Mellon with a Fulbright many, many years ago. And so I actually gave to National Public Radio when I was there. I'm very honored to be here.
Well, we're glad.
Very honored.
And New York is pretty different from Pittsburgh.
Yes, yes.
But tell us about this 92nd Street Y program. Ahmed, what are you here to learn exactly?
Well, as you know, it's like it's leadership program, development of community leaders, and we are all leaders in our countries. So it's a very good opportunity to me to broaden my knowledge and on the management of non-profit organizations.
Svetlana?
I represent Jewish Women Grassroots Organization that works in Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, Moldova, Georgia, Kazakhstan. And we're really working with women activists of advocacy and capacity building. And women activists, grassroots leader activists, are involved in so many topics. For me to be here is very important to get the knowledge on strategic planning of, we have in my country, in Russia, we have no possibility to get professional education for non-governmental leaders, for leaders of non-governmental education.
In fact, we did a segment last hour with NPR's Brooke Gladstone live from Moscow talking about how President Putin is actively weakening non-governmental organizations there.
You know, this is the process that exists. I want to be optimistic because during the last 10 years, and our organization is already very actively from 1994 and started even early in 1989. And I personally saw the great growth of non-governmental organizations. And this is a very complicated issue with that law. And that was very helpful, the world opinion, to support the democratic development. At the same time, there were some reasons why that happened, and this is also a world process, political process, and sometimes the political games of our governments, mm-hmm. our political leaders, sometimes not careful steps provoked provoke some acts that has happened in Russia.
And I want to come back to you in a few minutes and talk mm-hmm. about some of the specific women's issues that you're dealing with in all those relatively newly independent countries. But Roxana, what's your mission in theater and theater education in Costa Rica? And have you been spending every night seeing plays here in New York?
Well, a few things. We are actually a theater that does two specific avenues. We are an avant-garde theater, which is in itself impossible in a country like Costa Rica, but that's the theater we do. And about 12 years ago, we started doing what we call social outreach projects. Now, theater is considered by many people to be this relationship between a performer and an audience member. And you buy a ticket and you get entertained. But theater has a huge range of possibilities. It's been used from everything from education to peace building. And so we use theater as a tool for what other people can use it. It's not, we're not creating theater groups around the country. That makes no sense. So that's basically what we do. We can work with orphans, so we can work with children from the streets to empower them, to give them a sense of ownership of this thing. But also it is working in countries that have conflict problems, you know, then they use really theater for that.
Right. I mean, you say there isn't an avant-garde in Costa Rica, but there's certainly some avant-garde thinking, because Costa Rica is one of the few countries in the world that made an active decision not to have a military.
Yes, that is true. That is true, 1949. But Costa Rica is also going through a lot of problems that the world doesn't see, because we're the rich sister of a very poor area. So,
of course, everybody says,
oh, well, Nicaragua's worse. Yes, it's worse, of course, then we should shut up. Okay, no, Honduras is worse. Yeah, of course. So it's going through a gentrification of the country. It's been taken over by the first world. So people used to own lands in the most beautiful parts of the country. Now they become bellboys and maids.
Because of the ecotourism industry.
It's just so beautiful, yeah. Exactly. But ecotourism is making a few mistakes, like the same mistakes as Cancun or whatever other places, and we never learned from them. So people come for the monkeys, and then they destroy the place where the monkeys live. And that kind of thing, that's one of them. The other is migration. We have 20% of people, that's a million people out of four in the last 10 years that are migrants. We don't know how to deal with that. We have social care. How do you deal with a million people in 10 years? It's very, very fast.
From where? You know we're debating that in this country, too.
Nicaragua, Colombia. Colombia had a problem with the FARC, the guerrilla people. And Nicaragua has a problem with poverty and a lot of lack of work. And so we get a lot of people from there. And then, you know, there's 20% of people living under the poverty line. So people like to see Costa Rica as the green, beautiful, nice country that it is. It has volcanoes and stuff. It has a lot of problems. And it's difficult for us to talk about that.
We are here talking on WNYC to three special guests from around the world. They're here to take an international fellowship program at the 92nd Street Y in organizational development for members of NGOs, non-governmental organizations from around the world. They are Svetlana Yakimenko, a women's rights advocate and director of the newly independent states project at Kesher in the Russian Federation, Dr. Ahmed Fadil, an HIV/AIDS training officer with the United Nations mission in Sudan, and Roxana Avila Harper, who was just talking, artistic director of Teatro Abya Yala, an educational theater company in Costa Rica, and she teaches theater at the University of Costa Rica. And you're all here from such different kinds of countries and such different kinds of jobs. Svetlana running a women's organization, Ahmed, HIV/AIDS prevention, Roxana teaching theater in the way you just described. What do you all have in common? Ahmed? What do you all have in common? What makes you all the same?
First of all, we are all working for the humanity. Our objective is one. Our direction is the same direction. I believe from the first 2 days, we all felt that we are all working towards the same direction. That's what brought all of us here.
Svetlana, same thing.
In Judaism, there is a conception of tikkun olam, repairing the world. And here I am with a group of people who feel themselves responsible for the world we live in. And we are, all of the people here are proactive. They're taking steps and doing things for really changing the world, like change makers. And this is very relevant for me, because Project Kesher means connection. Mm-hmm. And Kesher connects people in my countries who have also this proactive way to look at the life. And the people who are here at this program, 92nd Y, they're people who really take proactive steps, sometimes in dangerous situations, but they really change the surrounding.
I'm guessing that we have a Christian, a Muslim, and a Jew around this table. The one I assumed is Christian is not Christian, but yet backgrounds are very different.
Yes,
and you come together in these ways that you were just describing.
I like to answer your question about what makes us all the same. The 92nd Street Y has a kind of magic in choosing these people. This is a highly selective but non-competitive organization or program inside this organization. And the way I see it, that the way why we feel so connected with each other, doing different things, speaking not very good English, neither, you know, none of us, and but really, really caring about what each other is doing, is because I think we all want to leave the world a little better than what we found it. So we're not the huge idealists of the 70s. We're going to change the world, like in Latin America was the revolutionaries. But, okay, just a little better. One little drop, one grain of salt.
And I would like to disagree with your conception that we are the same. I found that we are so different, and it makes it so exciting to be together because we are so different, and to understand this difference is really makes value to the work we are doing. So being different and doing, going into the same direction of being acting in making this world a better place to be, I think this is a lot to learn for me personally, for organization, for our countries, for our governments. So this program, I think, is a great example. If our governments could come together in this kind of program, different but find the same way, would be great.
I'd like to say we call ourselves the United Nations of Grassroots Organizations.
Ahmed, you work for the actual United Nations, and I read that part of your job description is, quote, to work to identify positive changes of attitude towards sexual and reproductive health, as well as HIV/AIDS, and work to identify positive cultural values and religious interpretations which would facilitate the promotion of human rights. That's a tall order, for one thing. But can you give me a specific example of some of that? Because you know how Americans think of Sudan right now.
I'm working in Sudan, but for people from different countries. Actually, the mission incorporates people from more than 150 countries around the world. And that will tell you the diversity of people who are in the mission, different cultures, different religions, different backgrounds. And whenever you talk about sexuality, whenever you talk about the issues of HIV and AIDS, people feel shy. People feel like they don't want to talk to you. That's what makes it difficult. And you really need to take the challenge, and then you can make the change. It's not easy. It's not easy to work with all of these people.
How do you do it, for example, when people don't want to talk about the topic?
Well, you have to go in. You have to find a way to open the discussion. And by going into it, they'll find it very interesting. And then you find people coming and trying to listen to you, asking you, making discussion with you.
Svetlana, you were going to tell us about some of the women's rights issues that you're dealing with in the former Soviet Union. What's at the top of your list?
First of all, as a grassroots organization, all our agenda comes from the voices of women. They come together in the places where they live, and this is the agenda. This is very important for us. That's how our programs appeared at the agenda on domestic violence, trafficking in women, women's health. And today, as important agenda is of women of different religious and national organizations coming together to create coalitions, because only together we can really make our voices heard and to become really the advocates for the women's rights.
On what, for example?
For example, domestic violence situation. This was, you know, in Soviet times, we never had domestic violence issues in the country. And now we find out that practically a lot of women live in a very extreme domestic violence situation, and our government, our police, just doesn't know what to do with this. And as one example, in the place in Ukraine called Rovna, women of Project Kesher initiated the coalition of women's organizations which proposed to change the law, how to punish a man who abuses his wife. Because in existing law, what is happening, the man, the family is fine. They're just punished by paying money. And what it means, the drunk person just gives the money, takes the money from the family. So what they proposed, that abuser must be taken for the social important jobs. And that went through the local government. So there's a really small step, but it changed the situation there. And through Project Kesher Network, which only in Ukraine is more than 80 women's groups, it became heard by the Ukrainian government. So we hope to lobby this change on the governmental level.
We're almost out of time. We've only got about a minute left. The U.S. is so controversial in the world right now, especially because of the Iraq war. Did your visit to New York change your view of anything having to do with the United States? Avila, real quick.
No.
For me,
that was quick.
I saw how much is done here for people of different nations to understand each other. And 92nd Y program is a wonderful example how America tries, American progressive movement or people of progressive minds want people of different diversities to understand each other.
Ahmed, same question. And it's your first time here.
Yeah, countries may differ, from political point of view, but being in New York, meeting with many New Yorkers, as they call themselves, told me, we're still United Nations, so the politics can be aside still.
Yes.
I want to just make one little thing so it doesn't sound like I'm aggressive.
Yeah.
No, in the meaning that I keep very much in touch. I read the New York Times every day. My husband is from
And
the
you
States.
Did live here for a while, as you
yes,
said
so
earlier.
Yes, so I didn't mean to sound like, no, I didn't care about anything. I'm
well-formed
sorry.
Impressions. All right, real quick, what's the most fun thing that you did in New York during your 2 weeks? Avila.
Oh, my God. I saw the museum. I went to the roof of the Metropolitan and saw Frank Stella's sculptures.
Ah, Ahmed.
Well, we spent some very good time in the Central Park, and that was the first
experience. Svetlana, 5 seconds.
Being together with a group and the feeling of New York with the wonderful guides we were having.
Thank you all very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Congratulations to all of you on working with the 92nd Street Y Fellows Program. You can find out more about it at WNYC.org. Click on Project.